Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my colleague Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media, and Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Jack Ekblad, both of which have been joining me from time to time on this program to have the bigger discussion, the big picture discussion. And today it's about Charlie Kirk, the response from the right, blaming Democrats, calling for civil war, overtly violent rhetoric. It just keeps ramping up. They're name-checking all kinds of people and institutions. The attacks are relentless. They're in the thousands. The folks that track this stuff say it is really bad out there. So how do Democrats deal with... And I'm going to use the word Democrats in a very specific way here for the next part of this discussion. I'm going to talk, when I say Democrat, I'm going to talk about centrist, left-leaning Dems who virulently oppose Trump, but understand that to win elections in 2026, we have to address as our primary platform, number one thing, the very real, very accurate, economic, existential angst of every single working person in this country. It doesn't matter what zip code they live in or who they voted for. People are all, if they work, if they get a paycheck, if they've got a boss, they feel that. So how do we center that? If you want to win an election as a Democrat, that's where you got to center it. And yet you have to combat a lot of hate speech, a lot of dangerous authoritarian tendencies and actions being undertaken by Donald Trump, the MAGA right, and many of the folks in Congress and in other elected offices that support that ideology. Doing both is hard. I was reminded, as part of this conversation, of this. It was sent by Robert Jones Jr., who has been inspired by the great James Baldwin. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and the denial of my humanity and right to exist. Isn't that what's going on here? There is justifiable anger and rage, yes, rage and frustration from people on the left. And yes, at the furthest fringe of the Democratic, I don't even want to call it Democratic, the far, far, far left, there are wackadoos doing things. But if you look at all of the acts of political violence in this country over the last 25 years, they are overwhelmingly 90%+ committed by people acting on the far right. Fact. We're going to post some of the links to those studies. This is from LaFree, Professor LaFree. He is a professor in the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice and the founding director of the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. There's been a strong presumption that among many, that while the left-wing and right-wing ideologies vary a great deal in content, they resemble each other in terms of their willingness to use violence to further their political agenda. However, our statistical analysis shows that right-wing actors are significantly more violent than left-wing actors. Like, someone has actually studied this, no surprise. So, Jack, let's pick up where you and I left off, and that is, again, I hear in some of your answers this desire to address the actual substantive policies and to return that as a fundamental pillar of any policy discussion. I think that's critical. I think the question is, how do we do that while acknowledging the very real threats from the MAGA movement to many different individuals and groups in our communities?
Boy, I wish I had a simple answer, but I do think it's worth pointing out over and over again that the most successful domestic terrorist group in the entire history of the United States of America is white supremacists. Doesn't matter the organization, they are easily the most successful. And when we talk about their defeat, when we talk about the defeat of the KKK, and obviously white supremacy is now resurgent, but when we talk about the defeat of the KKK, it was a mixture of the Justice Department and literally Quakers like Bayard Rustin. It was not political violence. And so we need to return to the most effective strategies here.
Yeah, and just since you mentioned the KKA and white supremacist violence, Charlie Kirk claimed black women's brains don't process as fast. He insisted that it probably might be a good idea if women might be property their husbands said MLK wasn't a nice guy. He was awful, not a good person. He said that gay pride is a sin. He claimed that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a mistake. And yeah, I'm taking these things out of context, but the words came out of the guy's mouth. You know, that's on top of, well, a few gun deaths is fine because that's the price you pay for an armed citizenry. Dan, it's quite a moment that we're in, and then I want to go to the phone lines. Do you see indications that Democrats are going to be able to pull this off by 2026? Like, calling out what's coming from the MAGA party without completely alienating conservatives and Republicans while also not alienating the far less progressive wing? I mean, that is a tall order. It's basically like, heal all that ails us, centrist Democrats.
Well, I think, you know, so over the weekend, or last week was held, Cap Times Idea Fest was held in Madison. And I was over there for a couple days over the weekend, and they had a lot of, you know, great speakers and people talking about some of the big things that we talk about on this show a lot of the time, too. And one of the final keynote speaker of the event on Saturday night was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. And Pritzker kind of hinted at what you are suggesting here about the talking about the threats to democracy, talking about some of these big issues that we face and like that, but also what really makes a difference for voters, and those being those pocketbook issues, those yes. economic issues. And so he talked about how he was invited to, this was before Joe Biden dropped out of the race, but he talked about how he was invited to this speech that Biden was going to be giving about his reelection and centering democracy about his reelection bid. And Pritzker said he thought that was the wrong way to go about things and saying that so many people who, you know, are these lower propensity voters, they might not vote in midterms or their own local elections and things like that, but only vote for president, are really mostly voting on economic issues. The bottom line, kitchen table, pocketbook type of issues, and people who were struggling economically during Joe Biden's 4 years as president may have swung to Donald Trump, saying that, like, well, he's promising to bring costs down. My life has gotten ridiculously expensive. I'm going to vote for him this time, right? And so I think the argument to voters that Pritzker was outlining here has to be an economic one. And we can talk about, you know, the dangers coming down, rolling down the hill from the big ugly bill and all yes. of the other things from that. But we can't also stop fighting for those values, those pro-democracy values that we talk about so much here on the Civic Media Network. But I just think as a campaign issue, it right. has to start with the economy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Dan. And figuring out how to do both of those things as a candidate is challenging, right? Because you're basically speaking to the two phases of campaigning, primary and general, and those might sound slightly differently, but at base, to try to return it to substantive issues that matter to people to help move us forward. Because it seems like the rest of it has just been a morass of hate. And I'm going to say this pretty clearly. It is hate coming from one direction. The people that I see getting shouted down on social media are people that basically have pointed out Charlie Kirk's own words. That has now, like, saying, you know, he did say X. That is a thing that he said. That's what's getting people fired, including Karen Adia of the Washington Post yesterday. Just saying. Charles from Milwaukee, you're on the show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie and your guest. So my question that I would like to ask any of your conservative listeners, whether they call in or text in, out of all the tragedies that have happened in the United States, and even the latest one where the Democratic politician in Minnesota was killed.
And her husband and her dog.
Right.
Flags did not fly at half staff. They didn't fly at half right. staff when Medgar Evers was assassinated. I could go off. Sorry, Charles, right. go ahead.
That's okay. But my question is for them is, name me one Democratic politician that was calling for revenge to the right. It was all about, hey, how do we try to bring the country together? Joe Biden, whether Joe Biden, Barack Obama, they never spoke the way Donald Trump does about going after the other side. I mean, he's putting targets on anyone that identifies as a Democratic constituent, whether you have a bumper sticker on your car or a flag out at your house. We see that these people they're not well. Something's wrong.
Charles, sorry to hop in there, but the point is this president and no one in his party cares anything about unity. The message that they're giving people is, I am a president for the people that support me and everybody else better watch out. I don't know how else to summarize the moment that we're in, but that is it. And that's not the way a functional democracy works. Now, the bigger question to me is, given that threat, what do Democratic candidates do in 2026, right? Like that is the challenge. Let's take a few texts. Then I want to get to the phones again, 855-752-4842. Gary from Madison's says this, when you can't persuade people to your thinking, people move towards a more violent means. Tony Zimmerman pointing out that how is there but to the end of any sentence condemning violence. Trump and his folks control the party. They have the power to decide what they do and their party's response. I hear that. Jim and Appleton, you know, I'm getting tired of this trope about lefties celebrating Mr. Kirk's death. I've searched Alphabet, Meta, and Twitter for celebration of Charlie's death, and the only platform that has a lot of it is that bastion of leftist ideology, also known as Twitter or X, which makes me suspect bots and trolls, given the billionaire that owns it. Folks, stay with us. We're going to continue to take calls and text 855-752-4842. Gary from Madison again, even Republicans admit they're more violent. They don't care. Steve from Milwaukee, the anti-federalists warned us that liberty dies not in the clash of armies, but in the quiet surrender of rights to fear and prejudice. Samuel Adams wrote that, quote, the liberties of our country are worth defending at all hazards. To smear whole groups, women, trans people, people of color, as unfit for power is the very factional oppression the Bill of Rights was meant to restrain. Today it's illegals you deride. Tomorrow it could be your faith, your speech, or your vote. Patrick Henry's warning still stands. Guard liberty even for those you mistrust. For once you permit the majority to strip rights from any minority, you've invited the same chains onto yourself. A free republic cannot survive when suspicion becomes the measure of citizenship. Wow. Thanks, Steve. Sometimes you got to go back to those history books, you know what I'm saying, to remind us what's really at stake. The reason I'm so concerned is that I'm actually concerned for my fellow Republicans as well. Right, I'm concerned for their continued free speech rights as much as I am concerned for mine. Because who gets to speak and what they get to say, if that's determined by what party you tend to vote for, we're in big trouble. We're going to take care of some quick business. Go back to the text and phone lines and my guests, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.